say again congratulations to Lily on her graduation. At least it wasn't like when I graduated from college. I wore a button on my gown that said, if you think I'm happy, you ought to see my professors. And also, I believe on the 2nd, we're going to have a movie night for the young people. That's Friday night. She's probably going to be there. And so please remember, what time is it going to start, Sonia, on the 2nd? About 8:15, 8:30. So about 8 o'clock? Is that when you want them to come? I'm sorry, what?
About 8 o'clock. That should be
about 8 o'clock? Okay.
And we'll just have popcorn and drinks.
Okay. So, young people, come on down. Popcorn and drinks ought to get you in there. All right. Take your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Let me say again how exciting it is to see you as a church come together to reach out to other places like that. It's exciting. One of the things that we like to do is to make sure that we're not a reservoir. We want to be a conduit to put out what God has shared with us, and we appreciate your faithfulness and your giving. And Romans chapter 5. Let me also say that next Sunday we'll have combined Sunday school class in here for the adults, and we'll be here in the auditorium at 10 o'clock because we've got... Those guys are going to be gone to Guacamaca. Are you hot?
Yes.
I'm hotter than you. If anybody gets cold, I'm sorry. Not real sorry, but I'm sorry. I'll put it on 40. Is that okay? All right. Having grown up in Washington, D.C., I got to where I was used to seeing landmarks and things like that. As a matter of fact, as a teenager, we didn't have cable, so we had to think of other forms of entertainment. And what we would do, and I'm not making this up, we would load up in a car, we'd pool our money, get enough gas money, we'd drive to D.C., find a free place to park, and then walk out where the tourists were, and we'd sit down and watch the tourists and make fun of the way they dressed. I'm talking about the Hawaiian shirts and everything and the big belly. Now all of a sudden there's payback. All's missing is the Hawaiian shirt. I'm now one of the people I used to laugh at. So in any case, we did it. And we didn't think a whole lot about it, but Mama trained us to be patriots. So I did respect, you know, the various, the Lincoln Memorial, the Jefferson, and the Washington Monument, those kind of things. And I did respect that. And one thing that I've always had a great deal of respect for was across the Potomac River on Arlington Heights stood the ancestral home of Robert E. Lee. And at today's count, there's somewhat in the neighborhood of 290,000 Americans buried at Arlington Cemetery. This past Thursday, 1,200 soldiers of the elite 3rd Infantry Regiment, the same ones that provide the guards at the Tomb of the Unknown, and you see them marching in the parade. If there's a presidential or a high-ranking burial, they'll have the caisson with a casket on it with the flag draped across it. These are those soldiers, and 1,200 of them began to place American flags on all 290,000 graves, which is an amazing feat in itself. Though it's not required, when they placed the flags, it was observed that one of the young soldiers was stopping and rendering a salute for every flag that he put down. And somebody asked him, said, you know, since you don't have to do that, why do you do it? He said, that's the least that I can do for someone who gave their life for their country. And it's right for a people to pause and remember the price paid for our freedom. And if you could stop and you could ask every soldier, every airman, every Coast Guardsman, every Marine, why you did it. You might get a variety of answers, but the most prevailing, some would probably say, well, you know, I wanted to fight for my country. But believe it or not, the most common answer would be, I did it for my buddy. They do it for the men and women standing beside them. They do it for one another. And most of them really did do that for one another. During World War II, on a bombing run on the marshaling yards at Saarbrücken, a B-17 aircraft piloted by a young 21-year-old Lieutenant Gott was seriously damaged by an aircraft fire, and three of the aircraft's engines were damaged beyond control and on fire. Dangerous flames from the number 4 engine were leaping back as far as the tail assembly, and flares in the cockpit were ignited, and a fire raged therein. It was further increased by free-flowing fluid from the damaged hydraulic lines. The interphone system with which they could talk to crewmen was rendered useless in the attack against them. In addition to these serious mechanical difficulties, the engineer was wounded in the leg, and the radio operator's arm was severed below the elbow. Suffering from intense pain despite of application of a tourniquet, the radio operator fell unconscious and faced with the imminent explosion of his aircraft and death to his entire crew. Mere seconds before bombs away on the target, First Lieutenant Gott and his co-pilot conferred. Something had to be done immediately to save the life of the wounded radio operator. The lack of a static line to open his parachute and the thought that his unconscious body striking the ground in unknown territory would not bring medical attention, even if his chute opened, it forced a quick decision. First Lieutenant Gott, keep in mind he was 21 years old, and his co-pilot decided to fly the flaming aircraft to friendly territory and then attempt to crash land. He continued on his bomb run, released his bombs on target, and then steered the crippled aircraft, proceeding alone to Allied-controlled territory. When it had been reached, he ordered the co-pilot to personally inform each crew member that it was time to bail out. The co-pilot chose to remain with First Lieutenant Gott in order to assist in landing the bomber. 7 of the crew of 10 bailed out. With only one normally functioning engine, with the danger of explosion much greater, the aircraft banked into an open field, and seeing that his seven crew members had safely bailed out at an altitude of 100 feet, the aircraft exploded, crashed, and exploded again, and then disintegrated, and all 3 crew members were instantly killed. A 21-year-old decided to save 7 future dads, 7 future grandpas, and sacrificed his own life. If that moves you, it ought to. But when I think of what Jesus did for all of us, that really ought to strike our hearts' cords. Look down with me, if you will, in Romans chapter 5, in this profound, profound passage of Scripture. In the men's class, Lord willing, week after next, we're going to, after we finish up the book of Proverbs, we're going to dive into this amazing book of Romans. And chapter 5, we find these words in the first 8 verses. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith in this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I want you to get these next few verses. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man one would die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die, like Lieutenant Gott. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, and I could add in here without doing an injustice to the word, and enemies of God, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. I want to share with you freedom's price. Let's pray. Father, I bow before you and thank you for the privilege of being in your house and being with your people. Thank you for this opportunity, God, to look in the book. Thank you for everyone that's here today, God, and I pray that you would use this to be a blessing. I don't want to be a pointless, powerless preacher. I want your anointing to be on this, that, God, it would be a blessing to those that hear. God, and would you challenge our hearts to always be thankful and remember the price of freedom, not only just in our country, but, God, in our lives, our spiritual souls, Lord. That price was paid was a great price, and you did it because you loved us. Now, Father, I ask you to go with us and help today, and again, use this to be a blessing. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. I've seen this even quoted recently in secular places, and many people have even quoted it and said it and don't realize where it comes from. But Jesus Christ said this. If you could look it up, and you don't need to turn, but if you could look it up in your Bible, you'd find it was, if you have a red letter Bible, it was in red letters. And what do the red letters mean? It was spoken by Jesus. And listen to what Jesus said. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. It almost boggles my brain to think of a 21-year-old. Do we have anyone in here who's 21? Lying will be next Sunday. Was that squared? Or how many do we have in here? Let's put it this way. How many do we have in here between 21 and 25? Anybody? Okay. A few back there. They got their own pew back there. It's called a fountain of youth. All right? Well, I want you to put in your brain then that Justice was flying that B-17. Okay? Jennifer was a co-pilot. And Leah was a radio operator. Sorry, Leah, you've lost your arm. And some would have said, well, he'd probably die anyway. He surely shouldn't have done that. But he was thinking beyond Leah. He was thinking, in that 10-man crew, how many could he get out alive? I realize we live in a wicked world. And I realize sometimes it looks like the devil's in charge, but he's not. And sometimes, some people may wonder, is it really worth it? Some would use the logic, well, you see, the radio operator died anyway. That was a waste. You would never convince the 7 men that went home after the war that what Lieutenant Gott did was a waste. And we may not see everybody come to know Jesus. And there are some that may think, well, it was a waste. Why did Jesus die for the whole world? He knows the whole world's not going to believe. But you know what? He thought you and I were worth it. You see, the picture in that passage is beautiful. In Afghanistan, I believe 2 years ago, a young Marine was on the rooftop, and he was guarding his fellow Marines, and he and one other Marine had to stand duty during the night. They were expecting attack by insurgent, some more of those peaceful Muslims. You probably heard of them. And early in the morning hours, they came under attack, and the insurgents had looked and seen where their positions were and understood that on the rooftop was critical because they could see the fields of fire all around and call in pinpoint accurate artillery fire and air support on them. So the first target that they made was that rooftop position. And they began throwing grenades up on the roof. And the two young Marines up there to protect those below began catching the grenades and throwing them away from the Marines and their other Marine buddies. But finally, they got to throwing too many, and one rolled up. And this young Marine, shielding his buddy, rolled over on top of the grenade as it exploded. It gave enough time for them to call in air support and push back the enemy, but it was too late for him. As he lay there, he says now he cannot recall anything that happened in detail. He remembers everything in great detail up to the point when he rolled over on the grenade. That's when his partner takes over and tells the story how even though he was hit, he was still trying to shield his buddy. Even though his face, and he had lost an eye and most of his arm, and he was shredded from head to toe, he was still trying to use his body to protect his fellow Marine. No greater love has anybody than to give up their life for a friend. But who would give up their life for an enemy? That's what Jesus did. And if we'll look at this passage again, we'll see an explanation of it. And I'll try to embellish it a little bit and bring it out for us. It says in verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly," or for the enemy as it were. "For scarcely for a righteous man one will die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to throw themselves on a hand grenade to save their friend. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, the enemy, Christ died for us." I wonder how many, and I am not taking away one iota of the bravery of these men and women that have sacrificed limb and life for our country. But I wonder how many would do that for an enemy. Roll on top of a U.S. grenade to protect the enemy that they were trying to fight against. You say, that makes no sense. Well, I'm going to tell you what else makes no sense. It makes no sense for a God that we sinned against every day to love us so much that he didn't just send just anybody to die for us. He sent his son, his one and only son, to die for us. I've got an aunt who went to her grave hating the military and hating the government. I've told part of his story before, but my cousin Al had gone AWOL from the Marine Corps, and he had joined the Marine Corps because of my dad and one of his other uncles had been Marines during the Korean War, and so he went ahead and joined the Marine Corps. But when he got in there, he found out, Toto, he wasn't in Kansas anymore, and those guys were mean, and they yelled at him. And they didn't talk very nice. He decided he had enjoyed all he could stand. Where's Justin at? Don't worry, Justin. I hear in the Army they're real nice to guys that come in right off the bat. I think they will probably help tie your shoes and pat you on your head, your little shaved bald head. It reminds me of the story where we're getting haircuts, and the barber asked the guy, said, "You want to keep your hair?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Put your hands out." So my cousin went AWOL. That means absent without leave. He ran away. My dad, he came and talked to my dad. My dad talked him into going back and took him back, I believe, to Camp Lejeune. And he ended up going to Vietnam. We got news not long after he had gone to Vietnam that my cousin had been killed. My aunt was totally beyond despondent because that was her only son. As a matter of fact, he was an only child. And she hated everything about the government. And all we knew was a blurb that they had attempted to present her medals that her son had earned, and she threw them at him and said, "I don't want your medals." We never knew what for. We didn't know the story. So long after my aunt died, we began, thank goodness for Google and other things, we're able to research it. Here's what happened. Al was out on patrol with a small group of Marines when they came under intense small arms fire, AK-47s and the like. And they hit the ground as they were trained, but up front in front of Al were two of his buddies that were hit, and they had fallen over instantly. Most likely dead, but he didn't know for sure. Al crawled out under fire and grabbed one to bring him back. Crawled out to get the other and was bringing him back when he was shot right here and died. He literally gave up his life for his friends. He's my cousin, but I'm telling you, he was a hero. I can understand in part my aunt's bitterness. But here's a God who sent his only son to die on purpose. Not for his buddies. Not for the good. But for the wicked. The evil. The sinner. Even when Jesus came down to earth, he didn't hang around a lot with the priests. He hung around more with the drunks and the dredges and those that were rejects of society. Jesus found himself hanging out more there. And for it, he was criticized. And yet when he died on the cross, he died for every one of those in front of him, even the ones that crucified him. He said this, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So here's a God who sends his only son on purpose to die for you. But the reason he did it was for your freedom spiritually. There is nothing worse than dragging the past behind you. You drag it like a ball and chain. And it slows you up at every turn. And it gets hung up on places in your life as you try to move forward. And sin follows you and it's on you and stays with you. But I'm here to tell you, that's not what God wants for you. He wants you to know that your sin has been paid for in Christ. He wants you to know that the books have been cleared in Christ. If you will only accept it. Some people mistakenly think, well, since Jesus died, it's a blanket payment, then I'm good to go. No, it doesn't work that way. You see, you need to accept that payment personally. You need to have that relationship. Remember again, is God interested in religion? The answer is no. What he wants is a relationship. Religious people nailed Jesus to the cross. Religious people cried out, "Crucify him." As a matter of fact, Jesus was an expert at making religious people mad. Oh, he could do it. He could do it in a heartbeat. He would do things like this. He would come up to the self-righteous, the pious, as they stood in all their robes and gowns. And he would come up to them and he would say things lovingly like this. Listen carefully. "You generation of vipers." He told them that you are an outsider, so dressed up, you're so beautiful, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. That went over real well.